Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Metz. Today we have our recap episode of the Oklahoma game. I say recap in the fact that we'll be talking just barely about this game, and talking a lot more, I think, about the implications of what we have moving forward, remembering the streak a little bit, all that fun stuff. So I do have Fetch coming on with me for this episode, so I will just go ahead and get you guys right on over to that interview.
And I'm joined once again by Steve Fetch, our basketball editor over at Rock Chalk Talk. Fetch, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So I don't know that I want to talk too much about the debacle that we watched last night, but obviously the big story for us is the fact that the streak is officially over after Kansas got completely walloped by Oklahoma. Before we talk about the end of the streak and kind of wax nostalgic about that for a little bit, was there anything positive for you to come out of that Oklahoma game? Obviously, it was a really bad game on the field, but any particular players or anything at all that you can take silver lining wise out of that?
Well, to be completely honest with you, I stopped paying attention around like halftime. I had it on in the background, but that's about it. I guess just, the continued excellence of Dedrick Lawson. Another double-double by him. That was great to see. I think David McCormick, 18's got to be his career high, I would assume, 18 points. So, that was nice to see as well. I mean, hopefully, even if nothing happens this year, hopefully it's a good springboard for him for next year. That's really about it, obviously. I mean, just another rough night on the road. And, I don't know how much you want to get into it, but, just the last probably three road games have been against teams that, aren't great offensive teams, and all three of them have really just kind of blown the doors off Kansas via outside shooting. Obviously, Kansas ended up beating Oklahoma State, but the Cowboys still had a pretty nice night shooting, and it's a good thing they don't play any more road games, I guess, because it's getting old seeing these teams that, like I said, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are obviously much worse than Texas Tech, but none of them are really good offensively. And to see all three of them come out and shoot like that is pretty disheartening.
Yeah, but I mean, in a way, it's also not necessarily as bad as it really felt, because, you look at it, there was at one point, I think it was shortly after halftime, Oklahoma was 11 for 11. No, they weren't 11 for 11 because they only made 9 in the game. But I mean, they were shooting 100% from their 3 points at some point late in the first half. I think they ended up making their first 8 or something ridiculous like that, and then couldn't make any the rest of the game. But I mean, they were ridiculously hot, built up a big lead, and then at that point the game, there's not a whole lot you can do when you're down by 20 points early in a game. Other than try to chip away at it. It was very similar to what we saw at Texas Tech, where they just got down really early, and you could tell that, just all the weight of all the pressure that's been on them, it overwhelmed them. And like you said, McCormick was probably the lone bright spot. I mean, I wouldn't even call Dedrick Lawson's, game a bright spot, just because, again, he had another double-double, but it was another quiet night. But by design, Oklahoma really kind of shut him out from having a huge impact on the game. They double teamed him a lot. Kansas stopped looking to get it into him because it was so hard to actually get into him. And the other guys weren't able to really get anything going to get the pressure off of him. McCormick racked up a lot of his points in garbage time at the end when it was basically already over. So while it was good for him to kind of get that work and start seeing some flushes and some things that he, really should be doing for us, it all came when the game was way out of reach and nobody was really trying too hard anyway. So, you can't really get too excited about it. But the only positive I think I take from this is now I can officially root for Texas Tech to win on Saturday in the early game, and then Kansas State to lose. Because at this point, I'm pulling for Texas Tech to win the league outright. I don't want to deal with the insufferable Kansas State fans that we'll have if they, share the title, or if they, heaven forbid, actually win outright as well. I was really looking, going into Saturday, I was going to be rooting for a Texas Tech loss and then a Kansas State loss as well, so that Kansas could have an opportunity to back their way into sneak into a shared title. But obviously that ran the real, you know, the real risk of Texas Tech losing to Iowa State and then Kansas State winning and then Kansas State getting it outright. Now I can just root for Texas Tech to win against Iowa State and not feel bad about it at all. So that's about the only positive that I was able to take out of that. So I don't think it's worth talking about any individual performances because, again, you know, as we've seen time after time, random guys were going off for Oklahoma early and then you know, and Kansas just couldn't get anything, couldn't hit anything. So there's no individual performance I think that we really need to call out at this point. So unless you had anything else you want to talk about, I think we're ready to kind of move on to talking about the actual streak itself. Obviously, with Kansas being mathematically eliminated from winning the Big 12 title, the streak ends at 14 years. So they were able to get the streak all by themselves, and regardless of what the NCAA decides to finally, you know, to do down the road, you know, whether it becomes official or not anymore, everybody knows that Kansas won 14 years in a row to take that title streak for themselves. So real quick, what is the, you know, I've been seeing it all over the place on Twitter and all of that. What's a favorite memory that jumps to mind for you from the streak?
Well, you know, other than the national championship, I think the first thing that comes to mind always is that last KU-Missouri game in 2012. I was lucky enough to be there in person, and I just remember it being basically a morgue at halftime, even though I think they were only down by like 10, which certainly seems like a lot, but it's also not a lot in the grand scheme of things. But it just seemed like a morgue, and then obviously Missouri stretched it out a little bit in the early stages of the second half, and then the comeback, and you know, we had the Robinson block, and we had Tyshawn with those two huge free throws at the end of overtime, and then Missouri not even getting off a shot there at the buzzer, which actually went in after the buzzer, which is kind of a wild thing that happened in that one. But that's probably the first game that comes to my mind. That's definitely the craziest that the stands ever got when I was there. And obviously, you know, with it being Missouri, that made it all the more special.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely up there. There's two other ones that jump to mind for me, that triple overtime, 1-2, mm-hmm. Kansas against Oklahoma, just a few years back. That one was a really special game. That was the first game that I actually watched with my kids, all the way through. That was a really exciting game that, you know, they actually still talk about that. My middle son is 13 now, and that's like the only game that he remembers blow by blow, you know, what happened there. And, you know, so that was kind of personally a really fun game, 'cause it was, I think the first one that I truly could really enjoy with my kids, and we can talk about, and, you know, talk about the feelings and, you know, that we had there. And obviously, you know, that was a super important game for them in that year, because if they had lost that game, I think they ended up winning that title outright, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure at this point, but it was definitely important enough to, you know, keep them from sharing it and potentially getting derailed at that point. But the other game that jumps to mind is the absolutely insane comeback that we had against West Virginia, just the other year, you know, where we were down, I think it was like 14 with like 3 minutes left or something ridiculous like that, and came all the way back to force overtime and then win it in overtime. You know, we've had plenty of insane comebacks, especially against West Virginia, but I think that one kind of stood out for just how big of a deal that one was. So, all right. Obviously, you know, there was tons going around Twitter talking about the streak, and obviously Kansas State fans kind of gloating about the fact that it's finally over. And I mean, your overall thoughts on the streak? Are you disappointed? I know you've talked a little bit about this on Twitter, but are you disappointed that it's done? Are you, you know, particularly upset about it? Like, what are your overall thoughts about the fact that the streak is over at this point?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's at some points being both over and underrated, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously, you know, the goal is to win national championships and stuff like that, and they only have one during this streak. But I also think that people who reply with that and think that that's, you know, some gotcha are kind of missing the point. You know, a six-game sample, yeah, that's what matters at the end of the day, and you want to win a championship. But, you know, it's so much luck is involved in that, and so many bounces that have to happen in order to do that. And, you know, the body of work to have the best record over 16 or 18 games over the course of the streak is maybe not more important, but I think probably more representative of how good a team is. And I think the other thing too that people maybe don't quite grasp is this probably is not going to ever happen again. I mean, you think of even like Gonzaga, you know, doing it in the West Coast Conference has never done this. And that's not to put down the West Coast Conference, but it's more to compliment Gonzaga. I mean, they're on a entirely different level than the rest of that conference in terms of, you know, recruiting and budget and footprint and everything like that. And they still can't win it 14 years in a row. So to do it in a Power Five and to do it with all these different programs that have been in the league. I mean, I saw a thing today where the last time Kansas didn't win the Big 12, I mean, TCU was still two conferences away from joining the Big 12.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, you know, to do it over.
They were in the Mountain West Conference, right? Like two conferences away was them being in the Big East for a month and then coming to the Big 12.
I think they were Conference USA and then Mountain West and then Big 12. I would have to double check. But
so two conferences, you're actually talking about them competing in two different conferences.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's even more impressive. So some of my favorites, you know, everybody of course was talking about the last time Kansas didn't win the Big 12, you know, and kind of the facts. And the one that really jumped out to me was actually what I tweeted and kind of the response to it was, you know, Ronald Reagan was still alive the last time that the Big 12 was not won by Kansas.
Right.
He died like 2 months after the last time that someone else won the conference. So, you know, that's and that seems like forever ago. You know, so, I mean, it's just it was completely different. But back to your point about Gonzaga, you know, I think it was Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. I was listening to them kind of, you know, doing their postmortem on the streak. And they've actually made the same point about Gonzaga, that Gonzaga right now is at 7 consecutive. So they're only halfway there. There's no guarantee that they're even going to be in the West Coast Conference in 7 years, you know, to be able to get a streak that long just with the way that, you know, things have kind of rearranged. But even then, I mean, just to be that dominant in a single conference for that long, either because of moving conferences or, you know, you're going to have a down year, at least one down year. And typically in that case, there's somebody else that can jump up. You know, we've talked about it here before. I've had a bunch of other people. I've talked about it with other people on other podcasts and other places before. You know, the Big 12 has not been a horrible conference during this time. Like the fact that Kansas has been so dominant makes everybody think poorly about the rest of the Big 12. But, you know, they've been one of the top rated conferences in pretty much every single year of the streak. I think there was only two years where they were rated outside of the top three conferences, according to KenPom, during the time of that streak. And the only reason that people don't, you know, think of the Big 12 as good of a conference is because it's never the same team. You don't have like a Duke and North Carolina who are always at the top of their conference, you know, and competing with two, you know, huge storied programs. You have Kansas that's always there, but then you have, you know, a Kevin Durant led Texas, a Buddy Hield led Oklahoma, you know, a Michael Beasley led Kansas State. Like you have a different challenger every single year. But you have other teams that are just as good as that second or third team that you have in the ACC or, you know, the great teams you have in the Big East and the multiple teams you have in the Big Ten that are, you know, competing up towards the top of the national scene. It's just not the same program every single year. And so it doesn't get that kind of respect. But, you know, this has not been a horrible conference when Kansas has been completely dominating it for so long. So it's a hugely impressive streak. I don't think that people will quite grasp, you know, just how impressive it is at this point. You know, it's kind of like everybody, like you said, everybody kind of overrates it a little bit because, you know, it obviously the main goal is to win national championships. And, you know, people talk about just how many years that is, but then also underrated. Like we're never going to see anything like this ever again. I would be, you know, I think Gonzaga is probably the only team that's even going to get close to double digits again, just because of the way that, you know, the parity that we have and how much turnover there is on rosters these days. So, but you know, I also do think that people kind of underrate it, like you said, because people put so much importance on national championships. And while that is the ultimate goal, you know, like I would trade the entire streak for, you know, another national championship or two, honestly. But the best measure of a consistently good program is being at the top of or near the top of your conference every single year, especially in a power conference. And so this is not going to, you know, it's not going to get the respect that it deserves, but I think there are going to be a lot of people that maybe are, you know, were too fixated on it recently. Now that it's over, we're not so worried about keeping the streak going. You know, like that's not the main focus. That's not the big deal that we have anymore. Now we can start thinking about other possibilities. So, and any other final thoughts on that? Go ahead.
Well, I think one thing too is, you know, maybe going forward, there's a little bit less pressure on, you know, hey, we don't want to be the team that ends this thing and all this stuff. And,
right.
You know, hopefully it helps, you know, guys maybe play a little bit freer and stuff like that. And maybe they go into the tournament this year in March with, you know, nothing to lose, a little bit more to prove, that kind of thing. You know, and obviously they're not as good as we expected them to be this year, and they're not as good from a KU standpoint. You know, they're not good compared to past KU teams, I should say. But you know, the season's not over, and obviously I don't think anyone's really saying like, oh, they didn't win the Big 12, therefore they can't do anything in March. It's more, you know, mourning the streak for what it is. But there's obviously a lot to play for still, and Kansas hasn't lost at home or on a neutral floor yet. Obviously, that's with Azubuike, and it's going to be a lot different to be out there without him. But there's still a lot to play for, and I've been kind of combing through KenPom as you've been talking here. And, you know, the last few years, at least, that I've looked at, there has been one kind of not very good team, quote-unquote, making it to the Final Four. And so they're going to have probably the best player on the floor every game until maybe the Elite Eight, or probably even the Final Four if they make it there. And if the freshmen keep getting better, you just never know. Obviously, I wouldn't bank on it, but I didn't think they would make it there last year either. So you never know what's going to happen in a one-game scenario, and that just, you know, kind of ties back to what we talked about early. You know, you need some luck to make it, and they've had some bad luck in the past, and who knows, maybe they'll have some good luck now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I do want to talk just a little bit more about this, but real quick before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to a quick break. We will be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. All right. And we're back. So obviously we've kind of talked about, now that the streak's over, there's not going to be that big fixation on the streak anymore. And obviously, you know, like I agree with your point that I think that added some additional pressure to this team. So looking forward now, obviously there's still quite a bit to play for. What are you kind of looking for from this team in the game that's coming up against Baylor on Saturday?
Well, I think this kind of probably ties into more next weekend at the Big 12 tournament. So I'm just going to ignore your question because I had
to. I was kind of thinking about, you know, talking about that next. But I mean, yeah, to be honest, like there's nothing specifically to play for in the potential Baylor game, and I don't know that it really is worth our time to be previewing this game.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing is, you know, depending on how Baylor does in the Big 12 tournament, they might get up in the net to the point where they're another quadrant one win, which helps. That's about it, really, is, you know, you want to beat Baylor by enough to where they don't – or to by not enough to where they don't drop too much, and then hopefully they have a good Big 12 tournament so they can be another quadrant one win. But one thing that I was on Twitter last night during the game, and now I can't remember who said it, so whoever it is, feel free to yell at me. But I thought it was a good point that a lot of KU's problems on the road are just these, like, horrific turnovers where they're, you know, literally throwing the ball out of bounds or throwing it to the other team or dribbling right into another player, and they're just kind of these weird elementary school mistakes that they don't seem to make at home, and they haven't made in their neutral court games either. And that kind of makes me I don't know about optimistic, but if they can kind of avoid those possessions, because we're talking like 10 possessions a game, if they can avoid those for the most part, you know, you never know what kind of a run they can go on. So assuming that holds in the Big 12 tournament, I might get a little bit excited again for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things too. I mean, I think it goes back to what we had talked about, that this team was really feeling the pressure of the streak. And we've had that in previous game or in previous years. But with this being such a freshman heavy team, you know, with all the main contributors being freshmen, I don't think that they were quite ready to handle it in the way that we're used to seeing. And so that leads to, you know, especially on the road where you don't have, you know, the adoring fans that are there to really, you know, prop up your guys, you know, emotionally and all of that, that, you know, a young team is prone to making those types of mistakes, especially on the road. So, you know, like I'm not necessarily too worried about it. Like, obviously I think that's part of why the Big 12 tournament is going to be important for this team this year. And I'm actually looking forward to it because it's going to give us an opportunity to see how this team handles a neutral type environment in big pressure games where they don't have the pressure of trying to continue something that previous teams have been, you know, keeping alive. Now it's just about, look, this is finally our time to do what we can do, to show what we can do, you know, and it's about this team's goals. It's not about continuing a streak that's been going on for so long that's so important to the program and those fans. It's about let's get our act together, do what we can do, and show people what this team is all about, as opposed to, you know, trying to continue on that previous legacy. So yeah, I'm definitely excited for the Big 12 tournament. I think for the first time in a long time, you know, there is something to be said about the tournament being more important for teams that haven't won the league title. It gives them an opportunity to try to get a little bit of redemption, to put themselves in a good spot. And, you know, Kansas is still fighting to try to be the top Big 12 team in terms of tournament seeding, and going out and winning that Big 12 tournament will give them an opportunity to do that. You know, if they were to win out from this point forward, I still think that they're going to be set at a 3, you know, depending on other results around the nation, they could potentially still sneak up at a 2. The Big 10 teams are all tripping over each other. Purdue, I thought, had a good shot at sliding it. If they won out and won the Big 10, they had a chance to slide into that 2, but they lost a big game against Minnesota. You know, the other Big 10 teams all have similar sorts of problems. So there's still an opportunity for Kansas to really jump up and solidify a spot in Kansas City, which would be super, super important for them. But yeah, so there's still a ton to play for. There's still a ton to look forward to in the Big 12 tournament, which is definitely a weird feeling, because I think in past years, you know, winning the conference by multiple games in the regular season and pretty much being assured of a 1 seed, like, it was just kind of, oh, let's just get through this tournament without any kind of injuries so that we can, you know, move on to the NCAA tournament. There's actually excitement. There's actually a reason, I think, to pay attention to the Big 12 tournament this year.
Yeah, I'm still going back through, speaking of what you're saying, I'm still going back through all of the, you know, pre-tournament KenPom rankings for all the Final Four teams. And every year a team started ranked 15th or worst. And in some years we're talking, you know, multiple quote unquote bad teams, making it to the Final Four, and Kansas is 17 in KenPom right now, but if they, you know, beat Baylor and, you know, win a couple of games in the Big 12 tournament, they're probably going to be, you know, right around that 15 range. And you know, we're talking about,
right.
Obviously you'd rather be 5 than 15, but not out of it by any means.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, and to be honest, you know, there was someone on Twitter said, I think 4 out of the last 5 years, one of the Final Four teams has been a 7 or a 10 seed. So like, there's nothing to say that the bracket's not going to break right, you know, for them and give them an opportunity to make a deep run, even if they, you know, aren't playing their best right now. Kansas is definitely in a good position. They have the talent and they have the ability. It's just about putting everything together for each of their games and not allowing themselves to get frazzled on the road.
Sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
I definitely think more so this year than in years past, they're going to have to get a little bit lucky in terms of who their opponents are.
Oh, of course.
You know, I think they probably want to play a team that's, you know, a little bit better offensive team versus defense, just because of how much trouble they've had scoring. I think any help that they can get scoring would be good. Although, you know, they probably don't want a team that takes as many threes, cause then you can get that snowball effect like happened the last couple of games where they get down early and just kind of pack it in. But, obviously, you know, a team that doesn't shoot it very well from the outside and maybe is, but also is a good offensive team, which is kind of a tough mix to find in 2019. But if they can find a couple, yeah, well, They're yeah, no thanks on that one. But
well, it's one of those things though, because you know, like playing against Kansas State, you know, Kansas was in the both of those games, and their offense is good enough to go up against good defensive teams as long as those teams don't have ridiculously hot shooting nights. And Virginia is not a team that really shoots very well from three. Like their offense is essentially what you're describing. They can rack up a bunch of points if they can, you know, get a lot of really dominant from the inside, but they don't have very many nights where they get really hot from the outside and just completely light it up. And so,
well, they're a really good shooting team. They don't shoot a ton of them. But they're a really good outside shooting team. I think, you know, I think your point about K-State, to circle back on that, is a good one. I think that they don't have a ton of resistance at the rim, which is kind of a big thing because Kansas is not very good at scoring at the rim.
Right.
You know, Dedrick Lawson's a pretty below the rim guy. Devin Dotson is not, but he's also not very good at the rim yet, and some of that goes into those foul things like we talked about earlier. But
right,
the rest of the team, you know, Quentin Grimes doesn't really get all the way to the rim very well. Abaji is mostly a jump shooter. Marcus Garrett, for whatever reason, maybe his ankle's still hurt, who knows, but he can't really get to the rim anymore. So they're definitely need a team that doesn't provide a ton of resistance at the rim. I think that's another helpful thing for them.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So we are running a little bit short on time. I am, like I actually said, I'm looking to get a Baylor person on the podcast so we can do another quick episode on Friday or Saturday morning to talk about the Baylor game. So we won't really do any Baylor preview. I'll leave that for then, but, you know, we're running a little low on time. I wanted to talk about the poll that you had put together about whether, you know, whether you would take Mason or Chalmers, like which one had the better overall career. I don't think we're going to have enough time for it though. So maybe we can save that as kind of one of our off season, topics so that we can have something to discuss while we're all trying to figure out what to do with ourselves.
Good idea.
So we will go ahead and save that for that point, but I will go ahead and I just want to throw it over to you one last time for your random sports minute. So go right ahead.
Sounds good. Very, very briefly, I just want to say, Kansas is 82nd in field goal percentage at the rim, which is much higher, than I thought they were. But anyway, so random sports minute. The Brier is currently going on right now, which is the Canadian Men's Curling Championship. Long story short, it's basically every province's champion gets a team in. The defending champions get to come back as Team Canada, and then because they're still an odd number, there's a Team Wild Card, it's called, which is basically the top two teams who don't qualify out of their province play off, and then the winner is in. So anyway, just getting to the end of round robin here, and it's all on ESPN3. Currently, the best team right now probably is Team Northern Ontario, which isn't a province, but they get their own team for some weird reason. Skipped by the 2014, I believe, gold medal winner. And the two-time defending champion Team Canada, who are originally from Newfoundland, have been good as well as Team Alberta, who was in the 2018 Olympics and, of course, lost to the eventual gold medal winning United States in the semifinals. So they're all on the ESPN app or watch ESPN app or what have you, the free one, if you have that. So
nice.
Something,
so you don't have
something
to have
good to watch in the background for sure.
So no ESPN Plus required.
Correct. Yep.
Okay,
all free.
Good. That's good. Okay. But yeah, and I actually just had real quick as well, for those of you guys that are in the Kansas City area, Sporting Kansas City is in the CONCACAF Champions League or whatever. I forget what that's actually called.
Champions League. Yep.
It is the Champions League. For some reason, I got myself mixed up on that. They're actually playing tonight while we're recording. They're down 1-0 in halftime, but they went on the road for this first leg. So, you know, I fully expect them to kind of stay in this one. And then next week, they'll get an opportunity to go ahead and advance again at home in front of the home crowd. So, if you guys haven't been paying attention, the Sporting team has been actually pretty exciting to watch. They beat a Mexican La Liga side, in the first round, which I think is the first time that a U.S. team has done that, So, I mean, it was a pretty big accomplishment for them. So, yeah, if you haven't had an opportunity and you can tolerate even soccer, they are definitely a team to be watching. Those of you guys in the Kansas City area will have plenty of opportunities. It's on local stations and pretty easy to watch, but, I definitely recommend if you haven't gotten into it yet that you should go ahead and give it a try. So, all right. Any other final thoughts before we get out here for the night, Fetch?
I think we nailed it.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. So, thanks again for joining me. We'll have you on again, probably after the Baylor game to get us ready for the Big 12 tournament. So
sounds good.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
And that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening today. In terms of the schedule coming up for the Jayhawks, and the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championship start today down in Birmingham, Alabama. You actually can watch those online. There is a link from the KU Athletics website. Also starting today is the Big 12 Women's Basketball Tournament. The Kansas Jayhawks, unfortunately, did not finish the season very well. They were 2-16 in conference play, so they are the 10th seed in that tournament. They face Oklahoma State in a first-round matchup today, and the winner of that game will then go ahead and play Iowa State tomorrow. Unfortunately, it's not looking very good for the Jayhawks in terms of their ability to really compete and make a push in the postseason at all for that team. We had such high hopes going into the year, and hopefully we can make some headway over the offseason and bring in some good recruits and then make a push next year. But they did lose their final 10 games of the season, so they're hoping to get at least one win before the season ends. So you can actually watch that. It's on FCS, which I'm not exactly 100% certain where you can find that. But it is also online on the Jayhawk Radio Network as well. So you can listen to that. You can follow along with all the information that they have online for that. I definitely recommend that. If you haven't had an opportunity to watch this team this year, I watched a few of their early games and it was really exciting to watch, and they were playing pretty well. They've just hit a bit of a rough stretch recently. So hopefully they can keep the season alive and continue to keep playing. We also have coming up, the baseball team plays today at 12:30. So for those of you guys that are listening to this in the morning, that game will not have started yet. They are playing against St. Joseph's to start the day. The softball team has a doubleheader today starting at 3 p.m. on ESPN+. This is the Jayhawk Invitational, so it will be here at home, the home opener. For those of you guys in Lawrence, if you have an opportunity to get out there, I definitely recommend getting an opportunity to take a look at our softball team. They have some high hopes for this season. While they haven't necessarily started out the best with some really tough matchups on the road, they are still playing pretty well from everything that I've been able to find. So you can watch that game against Southeastern Missouri at 3 p.m. on ESPN+. They are also scheduled to play immediately after that at 5:30, also on ESPN+, against Maine. So definitely find all of those online if you can, or you can listen on the Jayhawk Radio Network. Like I said before, the women's basketball team plays at 8:30 tonight against Oklahoma State. Then tomorrow on Saturday, the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships continue. I don't have a rundown for who all is competing, but there are multiple Jayhawks that will be competing. So stay tuned for additional information about that. The men's golf team is traveling down to Scottsdale, Arizona, for day one of the Desert Mountain Intercollegiate tournament. They will be playing Michigan specifically, but I believe it's multiple teams down there. I'm not really sure why it's showing Michigan's logo there when it looks at that particular tournament. But men's basketball team obviously is playing against Baylor at 1 p.m. on ESPN. I am working still to try to get somebody to come on and talk with me about the Baylor game. Hopefully I can get someone from over at our daily podcast, but if not, if we are able to, then there will be an episode in your feed tomorrow morning for you to listen to before the game. So the softball team is also playing on Saturday against Maine, so they will have a second game against Maine over the weekend. They will also play Southeastern Missouri again. So they're playing both of those teams multiple times over the weekend. But those games are again at 3 p.m. and then 5:30 p.m., both on the Jayhawk Radio Network. It does not look like it's currently scheduled to be on ESPN Plus, but that may change. So stay tuned for that. The baseball team also will play. They're down in Port Charlotte, Florida, for the Snowbird Classic. So they will play their second game of that tournament against Georgetown at 4 p.m. Let's see. Sunday, baseball team is scheduled to play Ball State. That will be at 8:30 a.m., so bright and early for you guys. And the softball team will play at 1 p.m. That one is on ESPN Plus and the Jayhawk Radio Network against UMKC. To close out the Jayhawk Invitational. Monday, the swimming and the NCAA Zone Diving Championships begin. That is down in Austin, Texas. I believe we have quite a few swimmers that are down there, so stay tuned for that. I'm not seeing any live coverage there, but we will definitely keep in tune with what is actually happening, so that we can give you guys, kind of recap the results for you guys at some point here, either on Rock Chalk Talk or here on the podcast. The baseball team on Tuesday of next week, we will probably have an episode before then, but just in case for whatever reason we can't get it before that morning, the baseball team plays at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, March 12th. Again, also down in Port Charlotte, Florida, still part of the Snowbird Classic. They're playing against Central Connecticut State, and the softball team will be up in Omaha at 4 p.m. that afternoon to face Omaha, the University of Omaha. So a lot of action coming up over the weekend and the early next week. So if you have an opportunity to catch any of it, I definitely recommend it. We have a lot of different teams that are doing a lot of different things, and it's really great. Any kind of support you guys can give them, whether it's online, watching any of the broadcasts that we have, or getting out there in person to actually watch them. So I am still looking, in terms of way of the podcast, I am still looking for an opportunity to bring a guest on to talk about the KU tennis team. Be looking for that in the next few days, or in the next week or so, and hopefully we can get you guys some more information. I know I, for one, am not up to date with how the college tennis game works, and so I would love to have a guest on that can go ahead and kind of talk to our listeners about that and how it works, and then talk specifically about how this team is doing and the prospects looking forward. So I'm working hard to get someone on the podcast that can talk to us about that. So stay tuned for that for sure. Also, just a reminder that the Jayhawk hockey team is having nationals coming up soon. It's the week of the 26th, I believe, of March. And so, it starts on the 26th. They're going down there on the 25th, from what I remember from our last conversation with them. If you have not already, please do give them a follow on Twitter. It's at Jayhawk Hockey. That will keep you up to date on the tournament as it goes. They will also give you any information about how to watch any of those games live, either in person or over the internet, wherever it's available. If you have not had an opportunity and you feel like you are able to help contribute financially to that trip, so that the players themselves don't have to pay for it out of pocket, they do have a GoFundMe account. It's been linked in the show notes for the last few weeks or so. Definitely take a visit to that. Take a look and see how they're doing there, and what we can do to go ahead and support them. So definitely give them any support that you do have at that point. But again, thank you guys so much for listening. We thank you guys for your support by listening to this podcast. We love putting it out for you guys. Definitely looking forward to being able to do more of that in the future. But definitely, please, if you have not already, found us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere where you find your podcast, please do go out there, find the show. You can search Rock Chalk Talk. That is the name of the podcast channel, obviously, as we're part of the SB Nation family of podcasts at this point. But Rock Chalk Talk, subscribe, rate, 5 stars, nice comments, all that fun stuff. It really does help to get the podcast out there, make it visible for more people, so that we can keep bringing this quality entertainment to as many people as possible. So please go ahead and go do that if you have not already. For those of you that already have, thank you so much for doing that. I'm looking forward to getting higher on the chart so that we can get to more people. So if you do want to contact us, either questions, comments, suggestions, anything like that, you can do that on Twitter at RockChalkPod, or you can email me RockChalkPodcast@gmail.com. We do want all your questions, all your comments, anything you guys want to talk about, any guests you want to try to get on the podcast. We're looking for all of that, so please do reach out if you have any ideas for us. But we will go ahead and leave it there. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.